Any of those funds would be surplus?
Why don't we discuss that?
Okay. All right. I want to slow my roll.
It's a legitimate question. Let's do that when we set the tax rate in that discussion.
The last two items are they're smaller current service charges and miscellaneous revenues. They're going to be $70,000. Bottom line for revenues, be $2 million. We're forecasting favorable variance of $2,675,000. And on the expenditure side, we already had the appropriations for all the public safety and the public works due to the storms. So they're going to, we're projecting them to be on budget now. We are projecting a variance favorable on general government by $75,000, $50,000 favorable on insurance, and $200,000 on debt service for a net savings on expenses of $325,000. Combination of the increased revenues and the expenses are $3 million forecast for the end of the year. And as we get into setting the mill rate, you'll see that on that calculation, we built that $3 million favorable variance into the calculation of fund balance, so that we've already taken that into account.
Okay.
Any other questions for Gary? All right. Item number four, status update from the audit manager. Lynn, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Lynn Scully, audit manager. The subcommittee met on Monday. We discussed the appointment of RSM, which I think Gary will talk about in a minute, as our external auditor. Basically gave the subcommittee an update as to the progress on the IT audit that is still underway. And we talked about a few of the implementations of a few of the audits, the vendor contracts and land use. And then we briefly talked about the audit plan, so we need to talk more about the audit plan in June. But that's so all that happened.
What is the direction of the audit plan? I'm not asking you to. What was the discussion? What choices are you looking at?
Well, we have a draft plan in place. We didn't put any new audits on there. But one of the things, the only thing that we discussed about the audit plan, besides putting off until June, was that we didn't think we'd get to the audit of a transfer station before the end of the fiscal year, as we had planned, because the IT audit is running a little longer than we thought it would. The information that they're gathering is really important, but it's in a number of different places, and so we're having difficulty kind of gathering it all together and putting it together in a meaningful way. So I'm working hard with them to fill in some of the blanks, because what I want on top of the list of all of the applications that we have, software applications, is the associated annual cost, and so I'm working on that.
They're not going to increase their fee, right?
No. Okay. No, we have a fixed fee for
fixed
the
fee. Okay.
For the audit.
Just to add, they've discovered 128 different software pieces that we're using either in the town or in the school system, not having to do with educational ones. So there's a very large project here. And we obviously need to find out how much we're paying for them, who's using them, how much they're being used, are there duplications.
Great.
So this will be, I think, a major piece of work when it comes out.
Good. Very, very good. Any other questions for Lynn? Seeing none. Item number five is the board will appoint independent auditors for the fiscal year June 30th. Does someone want to talk to that? Who's making the recommendation?
I can talk to him.
Okay. John?
So, 4 years ago, I believe it was, there was an RFP put out looking for auditors, and there are very few firms who actually...
Can I just tell you, it wasn't an RFP. It was a due diligence process, but we didn't do a formal request for proposal with it.
But you did do a search of it.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yes, and RSM came out as the best firm at that time, and they gave us a three-year contract, which I think we've been very happy with. The the other firm that was liked a lot was Bloom Shapiro, and they're being used as our internal auditors. So really, there are only two or three major providers of government-level auditing services in the state, and we're using one of them, and we've been very happy. So they've offered up another one-year contract with a 2% increase in fees, which we felt was pretty reasonable. So here's where we are. We would like to continue with RSM.
Are their fees consistent with the what we have in the budget?
Yes.
They are?
So just, Mr. Chair, if my, I may. Just a thought, you know, I was around those years back when we went through this due diligence, and I think what resonated with me was that prior to that, we were with the same auditor for a very long time.
That's true.
Very long time. And so part of the conversation was that best practices, even if you're satisfied with an auditor, is to have a turnover, to have another set of eyes on the books after a certain period of time. I'm not suggesting this is the year for it, but I think as we vote on this stuff, we should keep that in mind, that I think it would be a good practice for the town to have a rotation every once in a while.
And I think that's why the proposal is just for 1 year, because of the recognition that perhaps after this year it would be time to rotate to a different auditor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
So at what point should we start that search? We don't want to get to a point where it's too late. I mean, what is the right timing on looking for a search for that?
December?
So 6 months before.
When we did it before, we did it like around December and January. It takes quite a while.
So then can I just ask the audit committee for the December time frame to start that process?
You're going to make that promise, John?
From
you can leave
from south of the border.
a short note for your success.
Hasta la vista.
Be wonderful. All right. I'm sure I can find a good Mexican auditor for you. Absolutely.
Okay. So we will remind the new chairman of the board for that. Any other questions for the
chairman of the audit committee?
The audit committee. Chairman. So we need to vote on this, right?
Yes.
Do you want to move it, John?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Is Jim on also?
Jim, are you there? Okay.
So it's 6-0.
6-0.
I don't think Jim's on.
No.
So it's 5-0.
Don't have him lined up.
No, 6.
Sorry, guys. I had it on mute. I'm voting yes.
So it's
okay,
7.
Oh, okay. 6-0. Good evening.
Unanimity. Nice to rally around auditors.
Okay. All right, item number 6, our favorite topic of the year. The board will set the tax rate for fiscal year 18-19. What I suggest here is that we go through the worksheet that Gary put together and open, have Gary come to the podium, answer questions, Gary. You should know that John, myself, Jim, I don't know whether any other people met or we met with Gary and went through this in detail, but I think it'd be useful to make sure that as we set the tax rate based on assumptions, that we go through the assumptions, make sure that everybody understands what they are.
Oh, I thought I knew what they were, but they changed.
That's why there's another good reason for going through. So expenditures. Total expenditures in the upcoming year, $207,493,000. That is exactly what we approved, right?
Okay. That was the budget that was approved by both the Board of Finance and the RTM. And from that, we have some adjustments. We have an adjustment in there for about $67,000, and that is in anticipation of the cost associated with the DPW contract negotiations. In the reverse side of that, we had funds set aside in the calculation last year for multiple settlements, including police, fire, and WMAU, and that's now reflected as approved by the RTM and is shown in the appropriations, and that's a turnback of $623,410. So our total estimated expenditures for 18-19 would be $206,936,368.
Any questions on that?
So that represents all turnbacks at this point, right. Everything.
And it does not, just so we all know, that in there is nothing for SROs.
Correct. There's nothing out there. The line was taken off.
John had that question last meeting, I think, John.
I did.
Just to make it clear that there is nothing in there for that. And that will have to be a separate appropriation, which is just fine in terms of process. Okay, now moving forward to next year, revenue estimates for next year.
These revenues are right from the pages of the budget. And what they do is we take what we need as far as the estimated expenditures and take away the non-tax revenue items. And you can see there's about 10 or 12 items out there. What is not included in here is what was just released under the CCM, that the state budget is now going to be giving us money next year for educational cost sharing and pilot programs.
And the total of that is 800,000.
The budget and is not reflected in this.
The total of that is 800,000. You told us the other day, approximately.
Yeah, it's about 900,000.
900,000. Okay.
I mean, it's not on.
That's not on the sheet, so it's not included in there.
What would fall into the general fund is 941,000.
We can have a discussion about it, but I think, you know, just remembering where we were before last year, and I think it was prudent that we said, look, let's just assume, given the vagaries of Hartford, let's just assume that we get nothing, and if we get anything, it will be good news. But I think it's just good to make it clear that it's not in there, and that is a potential opportunity, right. For us.
And these other non-tax revenue sources are what, estimates based upon last year's performance?
Right, it's last year's and the year before. We do trend analysis on it and try to take a look at what it is. We have been expecting, everything was good for the last 3-4 years. We're expecting a downturn in the building, but that's still going fairly strong, as we heard from this morning in our staff meeting from the building department. They said still new houses being built, demolitions, and even commercial properties are still going pretty strong. They said it's still busy, but this is our busy time of year, so it's
right.
Very hard to say what's going to happen next 6 months. So we sort of take an even look at it. If it does drop off, we've got to claw that back.
And there's potential for extra revenue from things like the cell tower and elements that we haven't completed. Question mark how much they are, but they could be. In the 100,000, I'm making up, in the 100,000 range. It's not a million or anything like that.
We've taken into account the forecast for three sites over on the fire department. The open one there is Verizon. We're not sure whether, we do not have a contract with them. Right. They backed away, so we can't anticipate that until they come to the table.
So Riverside Avenue property in here?
The money from the Riverside Avenue would go back into the property fund.
The real property.
Right.
For that, which is a separate reserve from the general reserve.
So overall, the total revenues from the other sources, and what we do take into effect, there's two forecast areas, which are the motor vehicle, the supplemental billing, that's mid-year. We're projecting $750,000 in that and another $100,000 of miscellaneous revenues, and that's just, we seem to just be able to pick up some revenues. Whether more cars being turned over, we may pick up some more there. New personal property pieces come in, so we put an estimate in there just to basically in anticipation that we're going to get something extra.
And it also assumes in the Parks and Rec number the new pricing, right?
Correct. The new fees are built into that.
Okay.
And the new fees cover the additional expenses.
Okay.
So
our bottom line from our little meeting we had was that there is opportunity in there in the range of a million. But it is you should call it an opportunity. Don't I think to bank on it is the wrong thing to do. But when in terms of setting our tax rate, is something to consider. Okay.
All right. So the balance that we have to project for what we're going to have to collect in taxes would be $188,033,509. We'll skip over the adjustment line there. There's two more items that we have to take into effect. That are built into the grand list and that we have to take them back out. These numbers call from our assessor. The elderly tax relief is projected at $795,000. And the veterans exemptions, and also the certificates of adjustment from the, that come from court cases and the Board of Assessment Appeals. Board of Assessment Appeals has been taken in, so we're figuring about $125,000 will be settled in court or out of court. So that brings that total to 920, which brings the amount to be raised by taxes to 185,353,509.
Right.
And that's taken into account of drawing down $3.6 million of fund balance. And the reason the $3.6 million is being drawn on that is that gives us a flat mill rate, no tax increase. So that'll keep the mill rate at 16.86 mills.
Gary, when I took a look at the one that you sent around, it had that this would give us a little bit under 11%.
Correct.
The one that I thought I looked at was a little bit over 11%.
Right. We had, well, we were preparing for the, we prepared the official statement for our bond issue, and as we were going through all the numbers, I came back and I looked at the sheet again, and we had plugged in the wrong number. We plugged in 218 million instead of 228 million.
Okay.
So here.
Well, that caught my attention because, quite frankly, once we got over 11%.
Right.
I was looking at a tax cut.
Yep.
So can you just...
What I did send out was a fund balance history, and that just shows you the drawdowns from the prior years going back to 2013. And then there's a projection in the middle of the page using the fund balance for just this year, 18-19. And it starts with a 0% increase, which is the 16.86, drawing $3.6 million down. And then I just showed, you know, in increments of 100,000 what the impact that is. So as you can see, if you tried to have a reduction in taxes of 0.25%, that would result in a drawdown of fund balance of $4 million. And basically on a house that's valued at $1.5 million and assessed at $1,050,000, that impact would be $42 a year.
Okay.
So a person's tax bill, which was last year, was $17,703. We go to $17,661.
So is that about the average? What's the average tax bill, property tax?
This brings that into perspective.
But I'm asking you, what is the?
It's somewhere in that area.
Somewhere around 17,000.
Yeah.
And okay.
I mean, our average is real hard to deal with. We're better off dealing with a number where we peg it at the round number of what your house is worth, $1.5 million, because people can identify with that much better. Mm-hmm. And they can say, well, mine's $2 million, so they can extrapolate.
Okay.
You know, averages in this market, we do have, you know, small capes, and then you have the
we have wide swings.
Other end of the spectrum.
So can you, when you changed the number, the 218 to the 228, I was trying to get to it. Can you get us to the 228
basically,
number?
Basically what it is if you see...
So you get the tax, right? The taxes from last year, what, 197, wasn't it?
Well, if you look back at and the way they look at it is you're covering your expenses on that side, so you have the revenues offset. So you can really take a look at the expenses. Right here you have expenses of $207,493,000. So that, if you take a look at that, that's what you're going to have to cover in your revenues. But the way GAAP has you calculating fund balance percentages, what they take in is the government funds, which also include the escrow fund and the cafeteria fund. So they take into that, and that's about another $4 million. Then in addition to that, that brings you up to 11. And then they take into account payments that are made on behalf of the town of Westport by the state, and what they're talking about there is the pensions.
Teacher pensions.
Oh, so it's the teacher pension.
Somewhere around the 18 to 20 million dollar range, and as you put that, that's how we get up to the 228.
That explains it then.
And if you refer, it's in the CAFR, you'll see it in the back of the book, page 168. You'll see how it's a spreadsheet that goes across, and it brings in all the accounts that are included in this. So realistically, it's just the way GAAP has required us to calculate it.
All other municipalities follow the same?
That's the standard.
That's the standard.
Okay. So any comments on the whole analysis here and the tax rate recommendation?
So So, Gary, so you think possibly we'll have another $940 million to possibly play with? What?
940,000.
What did I say?
Million.
You said million. That would be lovely.
We have 940 million to play. We have 940.
Yeah, that would be nice.
940,000. Extra, and that
potential.
Potential, and then the big expenditure that's kind of sitting out there is the SROs, I imagine.
That we know about. Yeah.
That we know about. Okay.
I think one of the things. Going back with Jim Westfall, is one of the things you have to realize when you're drawing down a $3.6 million amount from your fund balance and you're trying to keep that target within 9 or 11%, in order to get back to a zero-based budget to start next year, yeah, I have to find $3.6 million.
Right.
So in addition to that, we have a lot of one-time draws. We're drawing additional $300,000 from the outside duty fund. We looked at that fund balance, and it has been doing so well, we figured we'd sweep that back into the general fund. We also have an insurance reserved on the liability and property side. We took $250,000 on there. Those are both one-time items. In addition to that, the cafeteria, the Board of Education has taken $200,000 from the cafeteria, and that again is a one-time thing. So you're looking at that, the 3.6, probably about another million. So we're looking at clawing back $4.6 million to get back to, you know, a zero line budget to go into the next year. So if you're looking at next year, say it's a 3% increase on expense side, you're going to have another 6-point-some-odd million, plus doing this, we got to find $10 million before if you expect a 0%, which is that's impossible.
So that's
some super windfall.
So what you're saying is we really shouldn't cut the bill rate at all. We should
right.
I understand.
So
what you're saying.
I'd like to, if I could.
Yeah, sure.
So my concern too. You know, I thought if we were going to be north of 11% on the reserve, that this year, and I think in particular this year, especially with the impact of the federal and the state, the SALT legislation, that there's going to be a whole lot of hurting going on for a lot of people in town and a lot of people across the state. And so I was really eyeing, and I think I was lobbying a number of individuals here, that this is a good time to send a message. If we could squeeze out even the smallest of a tax decrease. And we talk about not just keeping our seniors in town, but keeping our young families in town so they don't leave. And how do we differentiate ourselves from other towns? You know, you said earlier that, you know, a mill rate is a no tax increase. It's really not. There are people who get tax increases on a flat mill rate. So, it's great news, and it's hard work by everyone to deliver a flat mill rate. But there are people who will pay taxes increases on that mill rate that we set tonight, even if it's flat. And with the SALT tax impact, there's going to be even more hurt on that. So I was hopeful that, you know, the numbers would come in right where we could deliver a small tax increase. I don't think the numbers are there. I think I've talked with a few of you, and I thought when we were at 11, maybe we can get down to 10.5 and give a small tax decrease. The numbers aren't there. Should that change during the course of the year? Should our revenues, conveyance tax, state funding, other opportunities to raise revenue come in? I think that probably the prudent thing to do, rather than just put it into the surplus, into our reserve, which is gaining little to nothing as far as interest, I think we should look to reduce debt or put it towards the OPEB.
Right.
Now is not the time to do that, but that's something that we should seriously consider at that time. So I'm sort of, I guess, where we are right now. I'm supportive of keeping the mill rate at the same rate.
You did lobby me, and we did have a discussion about it. I think your point is, the generic point here is, why do we keep the fund balance at 9 to 11. Now, we had that discussion, oh, gosh, it was when Avi Kaner and Helen Garten were on the board, so that's got to be 6-7 years ago. Mm. I think it's time to have a review of why we have, forget the percentage number, why we have $25+ million sitting around with low interest rate that is sort of taxpayer money. And all the other towns around us have very similar, with the exception of Greenwich, which is 5.6, everybody's fairly similar. Weston is higher, but they have a much more fluctuating budget. So I understand why theirs is higher. So you've got $25 million sitting there with a lower than, you know, one would expect interest rate.
About 1.5.
1.5%. If we took that and said we get half of it to get to a sort of a Greenwich level, that would be $12.5 million. And say you paid down debt or put it into OPEB, say it's 4% on that. That's $480,000 a year for doing nothing. And the town is probably just as safe in terms of its financial. Yeah. So I think, well, I don't know whether we keep our AAA, but I think that's the analysis that needs to be done, is why do we have $25 million approximately at a fairly low interest of taxpayer money sitting around? Should it be a lower amount, to, you know, sufficient to keep us safe from whatever? So we should discuss what are the risks when you tell us how we're safe, and what would be the bond rating reaction to that? So do the staff work, and I think we should do that probably around the turn of the year, maybe December meeting or something like that. Have a review of that.
As long as the cash reserves are in the general fund, we're limited right. As far as the investments, the government-backed securities. Right. When you get into the other funds, right. Capital non-recurring, we have those invested on a blended rate. So
okay, this is the general fund. I'm not talking about the other reserves. The other reserves, Gary. I know we just approved this. The what's the name of our partner in charge?
RSM.
Yeah, from RSM. Yeah, I think if we need to sort of involve some of these professionals to say, is our thinking even correct? Is it logical? What other questions should be asked? But I think there's a point to be made here. And as I say, if it's worth about $500,000 a year, roughly right, if we could do that. I'd just like to make just a comment on the historic fund balances. This is a good chart, Gary, and I think we should do that every year. Over the past 5 years, not including this year, we have never forecast a fund balance over 11%. We always came down when we set the tax rate and said, we're 9 to 11% is our policy. If it's over 11%, we'll adjust the thing down. And you were talking a bit about that, Lee, a little earlier. We've always beaten that. If you look at those numbers, we've always beaten it. Last year, the year ending 2017, by 0.4. But some years, we've beaten it by over 1%. And when you look at the drawdown rates have been in the 2 to 5 million. And we're looking at 3.6 here. So, you know, I think, supporting your point, Michael, that we will come in at a fund balance at the end of the year, next year, higher than 10.57. And that's the way we operate here. The other observation I would make is that we always, again, going into these processes, we say we don't want to spend much more than the grand list is giving us in terms of real benefit to the town. In other words, small house being knocked down, new house being put in there, renovations to the electricity grid and things like that, things that accrue property tax, has been going at the rate of 1.3 to 1.5. I think this year, what were we, 1.45, right in the middle there. This year, our budget increase, the total expenditures, is about 1.1. which is sort of right in line. So I think, you know, in terms of the objectives we set for ourselves going in, that operational expenditures would be consistent with the affordability derived from the changes in the grand list, is I think we've achieved that here. And so, you know, you need a microscope to figure out the difference between them. So I think that's very good too. And I think the changes we're talking again about here are very small. It will be nice optically, and I agree with you, to differentiate our town from other towns by having a slight tax decrease, which will say, okay, yeah, these guys are serious about it. But I think anybody buying a house here, and our record is so good now, it's now 6 years in a row that we've had essentially a flat tax, that those people buying a house and working out their interest payments and their insurance payments and their real estate payments, real estate tax payments, they'll see that we have been very consistent. And going to a town where it's been, you know, oscillating, which actually was the case 20 years ago here, and so it's and in a period of not that I don't want to blame them, but in a period of high inflation, that's a very risky thing for a person buying a new house. So
and there's another group too. It's the commercial interest in town, or
commercial
tax base, because that is very real. That tax increases, they feel it, and they move much quicker than residences. If taxes get too onerous, they pick up and go, as evidenced by all your empty storefronts.
So I mean, people should also, by the way, observe anyone watching on the television, like
three people.
Like Brian said, I'm not sure if there is anyone watching. but the mill rate, I think it was last year when we did the reassessment, was adjusted, but that was just because of the reassessment.
Right.
It generally was really a flat mill rate, even though when you take a look at it, it may have looked like it varied.
Any other comments from Andrew?
John?
No.
Jim and Sherry, any comments?
No, I've gone over this with Gary. I'm good with it. Thank you.
Jim?
I'm good, thank you. And I appreciate Mike's comments on, you know, looking for a tax decrease. My big issue here is, I do think we should revisit the size of the reserves, since I think that most scenarios that would occur, if they're going to drain our reserves by, you know, $22 million, they'll probably drain it by 26. And I don't think there were too many of those scenarios. But I do think it's important to set expectations about what our spending is and to try to keep it fairly close to what the actual yearly revenue is without kind of, you know, presenting a distorted appearance by drawing down too rapidly on the funds. I think it should be a relatively slow process, and maybe, as somebody suggested, one there where we use the anything in excess on the OPEB or debt.
Okay, so
can I make a motion and then we'll go to public?
Go to make a motion, go to public.
So Gary, what's the number here for a flat mill rate is 16.86?
Correct.
And the motion should call for a 3.6 mil drawdown to get to that 16.86?
Correct.
I so move. Is there any?
I'll second it.
Lisa?
Okay.
What does Sherry? Sherry, what does that matter?
I can second it.
Okay, Sherry.
All right, Sherry.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Sherry.
Public. Any comment from the public? Jim.
I'm sorry, who seconded the
Sherry?
Sherry.
Jim Marpy, First Selectman. I just want to add my support for the decision you seem to be headed toward. I think it's a responsible way. This is what we've talked to our taxpayers about. I support the idea of looking at our reserve balances. That's puzzled me a little bit over the years as to why we set that. But we do have to do that very carefully, because I think the wider marketplace, whether they're buying our debt or just trying to understand what's going on there in Westport, you know, to go from a essentially 11% level, which is where we've hung in for many years now, to 5 or 6 or 7%, I think would startle the people that follow these things and might confuse. But I think, again, as Jim Westwall was suggesting, there's a way to do that, maybe in a more gradual and an announced and planned manner that the rating agencies would understand. But I think this is good for the taxpayers. I think the relatively modest changes in the mill rate we could achieve by some of the things that are on Gary's page, I don't think would resonate with. We could say we lowered taxes, but you know, when it's in the fourth digit there, it's a little hard to feel that. I appreciate the spirit in which that's being discussed, But I think we're doing the right thing by showing a consistency that I think I know from anecdotal evidence is supported by people who look to buy homes here and, in fact, talk about bringing their businesses here as well. So, thank you.
Thank you.
The public.
Any more? Okay. Any more discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that's unanimous, 7-0. Thank you very much. And just in terms of thank yous for this year, and Mike, if I miss anybody, let me know. I think this year has been difficult. Particularly on the Board of Ed side, where we had the insurance shock, which was the biggest number on the page.
That iceberg.
There were other numbers. No, there were other numbers on the page, but the biggest number on the page was the insurance shock. Which was a delicate matter and involved every single person in the Board of Ed, so it was difficult to manage through. Thank you for that, and thanks to the union that did in fact cooperate. I think, am I correct now? Did cooperate and implement those recommendations, which in a mid contract cycle can be messy. It was a little messy, but it's all right. And thanks to departments like the fire department. I mean, the fire department did come in very cautiously. They looked very hard at their budget, and it was one of the best budgets that I've seen. It was more transparent than we've seen in the past and had a great result from it. Now that your mix of personnel in the fire department has changed, who knows where the math will land next year, but we'll see that when it comes. The police department clearly, with all the, is one of a fairly steady budget, but with a whole lot more work to do for that amount of money. The Parks and Rec, which was probably our most, the discussion was the most
lively,
and that's good because there are a lot of customers involved there. People who go to the beach, people who go to the Levitt, people who enjoy our parks, all that. So all those people are part, and they should be a lively discussion. The only calls I get about the budget, about three calls, were from people who don't live in Westport and who want to buy a sticker. So they're the calls I get. So there are no votes there. So, but it's a I think that too was there. And thank to Gary, to you and your staff. For helping us through that process. Did I miss anybody out?
Yes, yourself and this board.
Okay.
I think, Brian, you set expectations early on in the year as to where we would like to finish. I think the board worked very hard, to bring it in. Wasn't always easy. I mean, telling people no and discouraging them and working with them and nudging them and. But the process works, and I think that a lot had to do with your leadership and all the members of the Board of Finance who kept the pressure on.
And you substituted for me in my absence, so thank you.
Well,
okay, item number seven.
I would add all the department heads.
Oh, that's really what I meant, all the department heads.
We missed you.
But the sentiment was, I mean, everybody, I think, contributed, I think, is the message.
Yes.
Okay, item number seven, Board of Education financial report third quarter.
And the RTM, yeah. Too. Yeah.
You had a good third RTM. Quarter there.
Board of Education third quarter fiscal report as of March 31st, 2018, with a projection to fiscal year end June 30th of 18, reflects the potential fund balance of $545,304. The fund balance represents approximately half of a percent budget variation to the $114.4 million adopted fiscal year 18 budget. The most favorable variance year to date is in the certified salary accounts, $935,000. Current year, we have exceeded our target for the certified staff turnover. It was budgeted as a contra account value of $300,000. We have exceeded that by approximately $200,000. For fiscal year 19, we have raised the target to $450,000. The district at this time does not budget for reserve teachers, so that is additional level of risk assumed by the Board of Education in fiscal year 19. In the third quarter report on the non-certified salaries, we have a projected fund balance of $308,000. The offset to both certified and non-certified salaries can be found in the substitute accounts with a projected budget shortfall of $340,000. Total favorable variance of total salaries of $904,000, approximately 1.2% favorable variance. On the benefits side, benefits cover the object code range of 210 through 290. I have a projection to June 30th of a shortfall of approximately $269,000. I can attribute $236,000 of the shortfall to our health, medical, and dental insurance. We are currently trending at $1.4 million of monthly expenditures. I have an allowance for the month of May and June of $2.8 million combined. If we hit our allowance target of $2.8 million for the remaining 2 months of the fiscal year, we will close out the year with a shortfall of $236,000. The Board of Education has approved a transfer of favorable variance from other line item accounts to cover and to mitigate and or cover the full $236,000. So this time I do not see any need to seek a supplemental or special appropriation. We're looking to address it internally. In the 300 level accounts, from 320 to 332, we include our professional consultations accounts. I have a projected shortfall of $198,000. The largest variance within the group is $156,000 for instructional program improvements. Current year, Dr. Palmer has assumed a second job, if you will, that is in the absence of one of the curriculum department directors. She has been assisted during the year with some consulting work, but again, the amount paid for the consulting work came in well under the actual cost savings, which is reflected in the certified salary accounts above. The utility accounts, 400 range, I have a projected surplus at fiscal year end of $426,000. The most notable savings in electricity of $377,000. The $377,000 of favorable variance is, I can probably best describe it as the free ride of the Noresco project. While under construction of the $8 million project, the lease payment, first payment will be made in July of 2018. So during the construction period, we have realized significant savings.
Was that the same amount? It was close to the same amount last year, wasn't it, in the utilities?
Last year was for
that was just savings.
That was savings, and Gary and I had partnered. We had worked together to lock our rates, and we're locked to 2021 to 2022 at this time. That was more of a seasonable savings, and as well as fixed rate savings on the generation.
But this is the free ride.
Term as the free ride period.
Okay.
The projected annual savings on the Noresco project is approximately $800,000 per year. The construction project now is in month 16, so to expect to have a $377,000 is in line with the projected annualized savings for the Noresco project. In object code ranges 500 series, from 510 through 580, I have a projected shortfall of $319,000. The most notable unfavorable variance is in special education tuition for public placement. This is due to the number of students placed out of district and the rising tuitions for out of district placements.
Is that impact reflected in next year's budget?
It is, yes. Okay. Adjustments have been made for next year's budget.
It is,
correct.
Okay.
In the remaining object series, 600, 700, 800, supplies, equipment, and dues, respectively, as of March 31st, my projection to June 30th, fiscal year end, is that we will come in at budget. Bottom line, I have a projected surplus in the amount of $545,000. Of the $545,000, the Board of Education has voted and approved, have voted affirmative and approved to set aside $400,000 to fast-track projects that were included in the original round of the fiscal year 19 budget to be fast-tracked to the current fiscal year. So if we remove $400,000, I have a revised projection of $145,000. At this time, I'm not projecting a or offering a number for a potential carryover balance, given that there's still some remaining risk with our health care in the two remaining months to the fiscal year.
Okay. Any questions for Gary? For Elio, excuse me.
Is it appropriate to ask Elio or the superintendent when the other shoe is going to drop with regards to when they're going to move forward with SROs?
I would defer to Dr. Palmer on the SROs.
Just briefly.
I think you've got to do things.
Sorry.
I know.
It's for the three people watching at home.
I'm sure there's four.
Oh, that increased 25%.
Sherry and Jim are watching.
Sherry, Jim.
Good evening. Colleen Palmer, Superintendent of Schools. The timing of your question is very apropos this afternoon. Our police chief and I met with our first selectman to talk about next steps in working through the request to fund the additional two SROs. We are looking at any existing funds we have to see if there's any way that we might be able to collectively, whether it's in-kind services or other funds, bring down the cost. The cost was estimated at $160,000 per officer, all fully loaded. So the original amount was estimated to be $320,000 for the two other officers. I don't want to speak for our first selectman, but we had a productive conversation about getting together materials to bring forth, to present to the Board of Finance. But it is our joint recommendation of the police chief and myself that this is very important to provide for our schools. And I would expect, and I don't want to speak for you, Jim, if you want to add to the conversation, because it was held.
The question was about the timing.
Why don't you come up here?
It was a very good discussion this afternoon. Sadly, today we were reminded of the value of an SRO. I don't know. I won't make it. I was watching the news this evening, and in Illinois there was another near shooting incident, and the SRO did prevent it. Ran at the shooter, and so we were reminded. The intent would be to bring the request for appropriation forward at your June meeting, which means we have to scramble a little bit. But I think the data is out there, so that'll be the target here. We have to get it on your agenda by Monday of this. Next week, but the detail, we have some time to follow. Your next meeting is not very far away, just because we're in the middle of this month. So that, from a timing standpoint,
okay.
So we can get to the RTM at their July meeting and then go about hiring for the start of the school year.
And it's the intent just to deal with the two positions rather than the whole thing. I'm just thinking to myself, and I think I've heard from a number of citizens that they want to know what the all-in cost is, the long-term commitment. They understand that once you start something like this, you just don't go away, 2 years from now and take it back. So I guess my question is if possible, when we are presented with this, are we going to look at the total package and talk about the funding of that and treat the request for the two as a phasing, so we don't just get the cost for just two people when the intent really is to go into other phases and deal with the whole thing, right?
Well, I mean, let them propose.
Certainly the long-term view is right, and the analysis, I think, has to bring forward. I'm leaving it to the superintendent of schools and the chief of police to make the case, if you will.
Right.
But it's my I guess, obligation to bring forward the idea since it's clearly supported by the Board of Education and a significant portion of our population. So that's and but yes, part of the analysis ought to look at, it's not just next year.
Right.
It's a five-year lookout or something like that. What might that mean? As suggested here, the target would be 3. There's some people that would say 1, and there's some people that would say 8 and 5, and then, you know, numbers all over the place. That therein lies the discussion that would be had at your June meeting.
So. Okay. Any other questions for Elio? Yeah, Elio. And this may just be a matter of financial bucketing here. On the salaries, which was the biggest full year variance of 950,000 approximately, I was expecting that variance to come up in the teacher salary line, but it came up in extracurricular coaches and curriculum and work, the biggest variance. Can you explain why it's quite there? That's line items 116, 118, and 119.
No, the rightmost column is the balance available. So the largest variance is in 103 special area teachers.
So tell me what is the estimated adjustments mean in that line?
Well, the estimated adjustments are funds that are non-payroll encumbrances to fiscal year June 30th. So these are estimated expenditures to June 30th.
All right, okay. And the building, my next question was, you seem to be a little behind on the building projects, grounds projects, and restore and prevention. Is that because it happens in the summer period?
That is accurate. That is true.
Okay. All right, fine.
In addition, the Board of Education, the next item on the agenda this evening is a request for transfer to cover the cost of mold remediation at Holytown Middle School. We front the dollars through a projects account and then seek a reimbursement.
Got it. I don't have any other questions. Thank you, Elio. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Are you up again?
I am.
I move we adjourn.
Okay.
We'll call in for this.
Item number 8, upon the request of the superintendent of the schools to authorize expenditures of $286,000 from the Board of Education carryover account to cover the cost of additional mold remediation incurred at Coleytown Middle School so as to meet the conditions necessitated by the terms of the memorandum of agreement, which we signed a few years ago. Elio.
Yes, sir. The request before the board this evening is for a transfer in the total amount of $286,605.55. In accordance with the memorandum of agreement, the Board of Education must notify the Board of Education of the first $200,000 expended within a fiscal year period and seek approval to transfer an amount in excess of the $200,000. We have, since the start, the beginning, start of the mold remediation, we have remediated 28 classrooms and 2 major hallways at Coleytown Middle School. We believe at this time that we have addressed all of the identified mold concerns issues at Coleytown Middle School. What remains at this time are some water infiltration problems around the front entrance that I have a team that is investigating at this time. With approval of the Board of Finance for a transfer of $286,000, we would have an ending balance in the carryover account in the amount of $136,517. Included in your board packet this evening is a 3-year look back to the inception of the carryover fund. With the support of the Board of Education and the Board of Finance, we have deposited a little over $1 million in the course of 3 years. We have expenditures of $928,000 and a projected ending balance year-to-date of $136,000.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve 286,605.55 from the transfer.
Second. Actually, 200's just get note. We just get notice of it's only the
286.
605?
No, but the 200, I don't think we approved the first 200. We just get notice.
You get notice on the first 200 within a fiscal year.
And so we're only approving the 86.
So then it's 86,000?
I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah, 86,605.55.
Right, you can either way.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I think technically Lee is absolutely correct.
Well, so you want to read it? Let's do it correctly. The motion is for 86,605.55.
Well, actually, it's to authorize expenditure of 86,600 in addition to the 200,000, which the Board of Ed has authority to distribute, right?
Yeah, they're giving us notice.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Okay. And I'm sorry, that was second by Andrea. Is this the end of the mold? Other than the doorway?
No, there's never an end.
We keep molding along, don't we? Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Elio?
That was it.
No, I like the analysis at the end. I, as I said at one of the Board of Ed meetings, the carryover fund can't be considered the mold eradication fund. We have to get beyond that. I know we had a bad start with the mold in terms of what it was to be used for, but it was really to be used as a way for the Board of Ed to have more flexibility and to be able to fast-track things and do things at the margin without having to go through the whole approval process. I know we still have doubters on the RTM, but I think in terms of the objectives we set, which were, Lee remind me, transparency was clearly one of them, flexibility, and...
it was a third, and I can't remember.
I can't remember. What I can't remember.
Speed, maybe?
Yeah, that was the flexibility. But anyway, those two, it works. I mean, in the previous regime, we had to hunt in reserves every time we came to the end of the Board of Finance. We don't have to do that now. So that, for me, is the biggest one, is that it's very, very transparent. It makes all the other discussions much easier. Thank you.
Thank you. And
we have to vote.
Oh, we have to vote.
I'll go to the public.
Go to public first.
Go to public, right.
Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Jim, are you there?
I think Jim had to come back.
Yes,
oh, here he is. Okay.
Joe, was that a yes, Jim?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Item number 9. Upon the request of the police chief to approve $360,000 to the capital non-recurring account for the renovations and upgrades to the men's and women's locker room to provide optimal storage conditions for police protective gear and equipment. The funds released would leverage a $200,000, very generous, private donation held in escrow account that must be used this year or returned.
Good evening. Cody Cascanis for the Police Department. Requesting this to replace the two locker rooms, the male and female locker rooms that were, the last time they were updated was in 1980. We've gotten 38 years of service out of them. At the time that they were built, there was only one female officer. We've gone up as high as 14 here at the police department and a lot of female staff in other places within the police department. We're at a point, I've been working closely with Steve Edwards before he left and Peter since he took over. We're having other failures in the plumbing. We're often sending the plumbing crews in there to snake the collapsing lines. There's a lot going on in there. Additionally, at the time that they were built, police officers were carrying a baton and a revolver and no bulletproof vests. Right now, there is no charging station. Each officer has a cell phone that they use other than their personal for work, a taser that needs to be charged, a body camera that needs to be charged.
No, they can't hear us.
They can't hear us.
A flashlight, and I'm forgetting one thing. I got thrown off a little bit. There's five different things that need to be charged that the officers have at the end of their shift, including some of the flashlights for their rifles and their sidearms and things like that. Right now we have stuff laying all over the station. I really can't keep people accountable if something goes missing because of the way our system is set up. The new lockers will be set up for drying racks inside the lockers for the bulletproof vests, and they'll all be charging all their personal devices that they carry on duty within their locker. So it's not only security, it's an accountability, and it's a way for us to track who's doing what and responsible for their equipment. Additionally, as you look at some of the pictures, there's no bottoms to some of the lockers. A lot of the shelves are broken, the hooks are broken. We're really in a bad place. The reason this was not put in the capital was because for so many years we're wondering if we're going to stay at the police station, and that's why it's not there. We know from the work we've done and the work that is to be done in the next year or so that we are staying there, at least for the short term, and I'm requesting that we proceed with this so that men and women can have adequate space for their storage of their equipment.
Any questions for the chief?
So these funds are already the private donation is already in an escrow?
Correct. We got approval from the Board of Selectmen. We've presented to the Board of Selectmen for approval. I'm trying to time it that when we present to the RTM for approval of the additional 160, that we also present for the accepting of the donation. Just trying to keep everything together, especially during the budget process. I didn't want to put it in different places.
Oh, so net, we're talking 160?
Correct.
Because that wasn't clear when I read this at all. So that's a 200 plus reasons to go with this.
Yes.
And got it. This donation was specifically for this use.
This is specifically for the locker room.
You can't go out and buy a new Ferrari or something like that with this.
Or SROs. No.
Or SROs. An SRO in a Ferrari.
That's an interesting gift that someone would make, a $200,000 gift for locker rooms.
It's been a long time supporter. This relationship was built long time before I even came on the police department. I've certainly done the best I can to maintain it. It's a long time Westport resident. There's absolutely no strings attached at all. Excellent. I made that very clear at the Board of Selectmen meeting. She's looking to support us in any way we can. She happened to visit the police department and couldn't believe the condition it was in. When I said that we're in the process of looking to update it, initially it started with a $100,000 donation. As we actually found out what the costs were going to be, I wanted to come to you with at least half of the money and ask for half. You know, as always, I'd rather come with part of the solution rather than just ask you for the full amount.
Yeah. Well, if this woman is on the line, thank you.
Yes.
For that donation. It was very generous.
For sure. Very generous.
Absolutely. Is there a motion?
I'll make
Lee?
A motion.
Yeah, a motion.
Brian, second?
I'll second it, yeah. Public?
I got an off-the-wall thought since we were talking SROs and headquarters renovations.
I was kidding.
Yeah, but I'm not. Listen to this. This one's a little out of far, but I just ask you to have an open mind about it. So we're talking about the SROs, and we're always talking about, you know, the facility itself, the police station, everything else. Has any thought been given? I mean, the fire department has, you know, fire departments around town. Any thought about the police department perhaps having a satellite office on Staples campus?
Well, if we proceed with the school resource officers, ultimately the schools that they're positioned at would be their office. Part of the success of the program is having an office within the school and being available to staff, parents, and students.
I mean, but I was thinking more particularly, I mean, for that reason too, but also I was listening to you on several occasions talk about response time in a certain section of town, mm-hmm. that area of town. And is it something that we should think about? I was thinking about response time and you know, if you got crowded headquarters and...
We can certainly, you mean as far as locker rooms or report writing?
As far as having a satellite office. Yeah.
We would certainly, once the SRO program goes into effect, we'll ultimately have that, and I would encourage officers at that point to be working out of there. But again, it's that relationship. We don't want to turn, we're trying to balance it that we don't turn our schools into a police zone at the same time. So, you know, we have to balance how many cops are coming in and out of schools on a regular basis. I think some parents would have a concern, you know, how much we're exposing at that point. We sort of want to ease into this. I want to be part of the school, but I certainly don't want to take over a school.
Okay.
Public? Seeing none. Any more comment from the board?
No.
Okay, I'll put it to the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Jim?
Yeah, aye.
Aye, he said aye. Thanks, Jim. Okay, 7-0. Thank you very much to this anonymous person.
Yes.
Excellent.
Is it going to be anonymous, this gift?
Yes.
Okay, stay there, please, Chief. Upon the request of the police chief to approve an appropriation of $28,530 for additional expenses due to winter storms and Staples High School. I don't think you need to talk to that. Is that okay? I'll move that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was the amount you read?
28,530.
Oh, okay. I said 5. Yeah.
If I can.
It's just, already spent, right? There's no.
It is and it has. I mean, it has and it hasn't in the sense that we didn't do all the vehicle repairs because we were waiting to see. We've had to tap into the insurance reserve twice this year due to bad accidents.
Okay.
So that's not done. And then we had extensive damage to our barricades, stop signs, all the yellow tape you saw.
Yeah.
During those storms, things got destroyed.
Okay.
and went missing. One other area, because I just wanted to be transparent. We've been working very hard with the money that we spent with the Board of Education incident, and actually we just recently got word, and once I have the money, we certainly won't use it. We're going to be receiving 100% restitution of the money that we spent for overtime for the school incident as part of the court order.
As part of the what?
The court order to the family. So it's very new, okay. But we approached it. We actually fought for it. We got a lot of support from the prosecutor's office. So we will be receiving $8,184.74 that I will be putting back into that. So if you subtract that, ultimately, when that money comes in, I will be asking for $20,345.26.
Okay.
That's as recent as early this morning that I got word.
So let's do the $28,000 just to make sure that we don't have to come back again.
Yep.
Okay, so moved.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
Any comments from the public? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Jim?
Aye.
Okay, so that's unanimous. Item number 11, upon the request of the fire chief to approve appropriation of $59,539 for the accounts and expenses incurred in the March winter storms.
Deputy Chief Mike Cronick from the Westport Fire Department.
Mike,
I'm here
welcome.
Representing Chief Yost. Normally, we don't have to come back and ask for this. We do budget to handle fairly large disasters year to year. This year has been particularly busy for us with all the different snow events. We hold extra staff so we have people on hand to fight fire, mostly because we know we can't get the resources from our neighboring communities. The March storms absolutely put us over the edge on that. The $10,000 expense, normally we wouldn't be coming to you for this for the repair of the truck. We do budget money to repair trucks. I know the mechanic had talked to you guys before.
That $10,000 part of the 59?
Yeah, it's a total.
Okay.
You're okay with it?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't see it there. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
John seconds.
Okay.
I'd just like to thank you. You did super work during that storm. It was phenomenal. And by the
storm, I would add
and Public Works too. Yeah. I mean, there's a partnership there.
Our storms yesterday around here were relatively benign. Up north, several of our COG municipalities are devastated. Much worse than we were even at the height of the March 6th storm or whatever it was. And Mike, the reason he's dressed the way he is he's been up in Brookfield with some of our other firefighters. They're borrowing our, I should let you tell the story, but we're helping Brookfield out, as are the police, and DPW is planning to do the same as well. Mutual aid sort of thing we're doing from municipality. I've been exchanging emails back and forth with Steve Dunn, who's my counterpart in Brookfield, and he's truly appreciative of the resources. So, but
thank you.
It's a good use of our equipment, I will say
thank
that
you.
As well.
And so when the shift holdover, the guys that are there now, that's being expended there. The state hasn't decided if they're going to be able, how or when they would be able to reimburse for those. But that's through our normal mutual aid agreements, and we've been the beneficiaries of that, especially after Hurricane Sandy. We help our brother and neighboring towns when we can.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, there's a motion. That's second.
All in favor? That's unanimous. Item number 12, upon the request of the Director of Public Works to approve an appropriation of $418,500.
Motion to adjourn.
to the Highway Protect Program to fund storm costs incurred during the winter.
Pete Rakowicz, Director of Public Works. I provided an accounting per our storm account listing. Essentially, this covers more than the nor'easters. We started in December 9th doing storms, snowstorms. By the time we've reached March, we have responded to 16 plus storm events. 13 of those were general calls where we bring the entire crew in. Eight of those, we bring in contractors to handle the schools and the downtown area. We went through about 2,500 tons worth of salt throughout those events. Many of these events were more salt than plowing events. And essentially, what you see is that most of the grand majority of this, the expenditure is on outside contractors that are assisting us with this.
Is that school parking lots and things like that?
Well, it includes school parking lots, but I would say that the grand majority of the $376,000 is really tree work.
Okay.
With, associated with the Nor'easters, and further, once the trees come down, they go to our yard waste site. They then have to be hauled out and chipped up, so that's an expense that we have not completed yet. And it, not only from our public yard waste site, but from our own wood storage yard, so that's quite an expenditure to haul material out of there up to Stratford and tub grind it into usable materials. So, you know, percentage-wise, the grand majority is represented by outside contractors.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Peter?
Well, is there a motion?
Make a motion.
Lee? Andrea?
Public comment? Thank you again. Great stuff.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I think
I heard you, Jim.
So thank you, Sherry and Jim, for joining us remotely, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. A second.
All in second.
All in favor?
Sherry.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What time do we have?
It is 9:15. 9:15. Give us enough clock.